Continuing our study of the book Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, which is giving us the many experiences that a Christian may go through from the time they are converted until the time that they enter into the eternal state called heaven. Last week we left our pilgrims in the midst of the delectable mountains, the mountains of God, the mountains beautiful, the pleasureful mountains which belong unto the Lord of the hill. And there they were being taught by the shepherds that were there upon those mountains. The delectable mountains, we learned, represent the teaching ministry of the church, particularly under the role of a teaching shepherd. And we found out last week that these shepherds had names. They were known as knowledge, experience, watchful, and sincere. Now, this meant the four characteristics which should be in the life of a teaching shepherd. He ought to have knowledge of the Bible. He ought to have experience of that. In other words, he ought to be born again. He ought to be a man that is experiencing what he is preaching about. He ought to be a person who is watching over the souls of the sheep, and he ought to be sincere. Now then, tonight, we want to go back and begin again and take up the mountains themselves, having seen the shepherds representing the teaching ministry of the local church. Now then, tonight, we'll go back and see the mountains themselves, the delectable mountains. Now remember, this represents a period in your life as a Christian in which you come to appreciate the role of a teaching pastor in your own life. Now, this doesn't occur to everybody at the same time. This is an art, beloved, just as it is a gift in which God gives to a pastor to be able to impart knowledge unto his hearers. It is an art and a gift of grace which God gives to his saints to be able to appreciate and understand the role in which a teaching shepherd is to play in your Christian life. And there will come a time, hopefully, in your life, if it has not come yet, in which that God will reveal his grace in a special way so as to show you how beneficial a teaching minister can be in your life. But you may not have reached that stage in grace yet tonight. But we hope that that day will soon come, because God intends it for all of his people to be able to reach into a higher plateau and to be able to have the mysteries and the things of God revealed unto you as you come to appreciate the role that a teaching shepherd can play in your own sanctification and growth in grace. Now, this is known as the delectable mountains, the mountains of the Lord. This is different from the House Beautiful. If you remember back several months ago, we were in the House Beautiful. That represented the fellowship of the saints in the local church. But the teaching ministry is not the same as the fellowship ministry. You may be enjoying the fellowship of the saints, and yet never yet have you been able to really appreciate the role of a teaching shepherd in your life. That's a different plateau. That comes through growing in grace. And some have not yet grown to that point. Maybe it won't be long, if you are yet even here tonight, in which that you will begin to be able to feast upon the Word of God through the role of a teaching shepherd. Now, particularly you young people, it is a rare thing indeed that a young Christian has yet learned to appreciate the role of a teaching shepherd. Now, you ought to, but I know where I was at when I was a young person. In fact, I wasn't even converted until I was about 18 years old. But I know I have patience with you in that you have many, many things on your minds, and it's hard for you to come and to concentrate on what we as a pastor bring. But seek after that. And it may not be long until God is pleased to give you such a hunger and thirst after the deeper things of God that you also will be on this added plateau of being able to appreciate the role of a teaching shepherd. Now I want to begin here tonight where at this point, "Then went they till they came to the Delectable Mountains, which mountains belong to the Lord of the hill of which we have spoken before. And so they went up to the mountains to behold the gardens and orchards, the vineyards and the fountains of water, where also they drank and washed themselves and did freely eat of the vineyards. Now there were on the tops of these mountains shepherds feeding their flocks, and they stood by the highway side. The pilgrims therefore went to them, and leaning upon their staves, they asked, Whose delectable mountains are these, and whose be the sheep that feed upon them? The shepherds replied, These mountains are Emmanuel's land, and they are within the sight of his city, and the sheep also are his, and he laid down his life for them." Now, dear people, we're getting close to the end of the story, of the allegory, of the dream. We're getting close to seeing the city. Now, what's the significance of this? Now, hear me. When you are blessed by God's grace with an appreciation for the role which a teaching shepherd is to play in your life, you will be given insights into heaven that you've never saw before. You're getting close. Oh, this is Emmanuel's land. Not everybody that is a Christian has yet grown to this plateau. You remember ever going up to a hill and being able to look out over the valley? I remember my wife and I were down in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Tennessee and Virginia it was, yes, a few years ago. I remember looking out over our motel room in the backyard of the motel. There you go out to a little overcast and look for miles down in those valleys. All that you were enabled to see, that because you were on a high plateau, you were able to see down over the valleys. Now, beloved, not everybody here this evening has probably reached the point where that you are getting glimpses of the next life yet. Now, you can see through a glass darkly, as we all do. But, dear people, as you grow older, you ought to be given insights into heaven that would give your heart, prepare your heart for a more desirous attitude of going there. And that is where the role of the teaching shepherd comes in. He will be enabled by the grace of God to give you insights of the next life that you have not yet seen and heard of before. Now, I want to go back to a former location in the book when they were in the House Beautiful. They had just joined a local church. He'd been converted. And now then, he identified with a local church. And you remember what he learned there in that local church? He met the young ladies whose name was Charity, Patience, and Piety, and Discretion, representing the fellowship of the people of God in a local church. And while they were there, or while he was there, he was given the whole armor of God to be able to prepare himself for the journey. But he was still a young Christian. And he was told that there would come a time in his life when he would see the Delectable Mountains. That is, at a certain time out here in the future, God would give him an appreciation of the role of a teaching shepherd. I want to read that to you back here in the previous account in the book. "Then I saw in my dream that on the morrow he got up to go forwards, but they desired him to stay till the next day also. And then said they, We will, if the day be clear, show you the Delectable Mountains, which they said would yet further add to his comfort. The teaching role of a shepherd will add to your comfort in the knowledge of the things of God, because they were nearer the desired haven than the place where at present he was. You see, he's way back here. He's first joined the church. He's become a new Christian. And they told him, now, as you grow, you will soon come to see the Delectable Mountains. You can only see them at a distance right now. But as you grow in grace, you're going to see them clearly. And when you get to that state, you're going to have visions of heaven that's going to make you appreciative and desirous of going there, to where your life is going to be weaned from the desire to stay here. Isn't it precious to meet some of the old saints of God who realize they only have a few years left, and yet they're ready to go on? Their life isn't wrapped up here in these trials and troubles and tribulations. Their life is with Abraham's. He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. But let's read further. When the mountain was up, they had him to the top of the house and bid him look south, and so he did. And behold, at a great distance he saw a most pleasant mountainous country, beautified with woods, vineyards, fruits of all sorts, flowers also, with springs and fountains, very delectable to behold. Then he asked the name of the country, and they said it was Emmanuel's land. And as it was common, said they, as this hill is, and for all the pilgrims. And when thou comest there, from thence thou mayest see the gate of the celestial city, as the shepherds that live there will make appear. So they said, you see out here over the mountains, you can get just a glimpse of the Delectable Mountains. Now, that's where you ought to be tonight if you have not yet reached the Delectable Mountains. You ought to, as a new Christian or as a person who is growing in grace, you ought to be able by now to see the benefits of fellowshipping with the people of God in the local church. And not only that, you ought to be having an increasing desire to have more insights given to you from the Bible, from the things of God. And that will come primarily through the role of the teaching shepherd, which God is pleased to give you. And when he weds your heart to that ministry, there will be insights given you into the things of God that will enable you to walk in Beulah Land. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. When you reach that stage that God weds your heart with his word to the ministry of the teaching shepherd, beloved, it will truly be Beulah Land for you. May God be pleased to do that. Now then, let's go back to the point in the book where we're at now. We read that the shepherds said this was Emmanuel's land. Now Christian said, is this the way to the celestial city? Shepherds, you are just in your way. Or the Christian, how far is it thither? Shepherds, too far for any but those that shall get thither indeed. Now that's merely saying this, if you don't have a hunger to be like Jesus Christ, you'll never get to heaven. Wherever you're at right now, heaven is yet future. Do you want to go there? Do you want to be like Jesus Christ? It's still a way. And the shepherds gave this advice. It's still so far away that if your heart's not set on it, you'll not get there indeed. Make sure it's set on Jesus right now. Look unto him, the author and finisher of your faith, and run with patience the race that's set before us. Christian, is the way safe or dangerous? Shepherd, it's safe for all those for whom it is to be safe, but transgressors shall fall therein. All the saints of God shall get to heaven. They shall be eternally secure, but not everyone who professes that they're a saint is going to get there. Transgressors shall fall in the way. We've seen many of those already in Bunyan's allegory. Christian, is there in this place any relief for pilgrims that are weary and faint in the way? Shepherd, the Lord of the mountains has given us a charge not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. Therefore, the good of the place is before you. I saw also in my dream that when the shepherds perceived that they were wayfaring men, they also put questions to them. Now, here are their pastors going to take them aside. He's going to start asking them some questions. So So if your pastor ever starts asking you questions, don't think he's a busybody. He's interested in your souls. He's wanting you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And he's asking to determine your spiritual welfare. Well, whence came you? And how did you get into the way? And by what means have you so persevered therein? For but few of them that began to come hither do show their face on these mountains. What a wise insight these pastors had. They said many set out on the way, but they never reached the Delectable Mountains. So he said, where did you come from? What caused you to want to be a Christian? And how did you become a Christian? And how have you continued in the way of the Christian life? They wanted answers to these. But when the shepherds heard their answers, being pleased therewith, they looked very lovingly upon them and said, welcome to the Delectable Mountains. The shepherds, I say, whose names were Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere, took them by the hand and had them or led them to their tents and made them partake of that which was ready at present. They said, moreover, we would that you stay here a while to be acquainted with us, and yet more to solace yourselves with the good of these Delectable Mountains. Then they told them that they were content to stay, and so they went to their rest that night because it was very late. Then I saw in my dream that in the morning the shepherds called up Christian and Hopeful to walk with them upon the mountains. I remember when I was in California, and when God began to deal with my heart seriously about the things of God, I will never forget those delightful hours I spent with my pastor, sitting down in his office and shooting questions at him and having him lead me by the hand over the and through the pastures of God. What a precious time that was. And oh, that God might so wed your hearts to your teaching shepherd, that you might so trust him and he give and God give him a heart for you, that you're wedded together where you can walk the mountains with God. I walk those hills. Sit down and go through the things of God together. Now that's what's going on right here. So they went forth with them and walked a while, having a pleasant prospect on every side. Then said the shepherds one to another, shall we show these pilgrims some wonders? Shall we now show these precious sheep some insights into the things of God which perhaps they've never seen before? And so, when they had concluded to do it, they had them first to the top of a hill called Error. Now then, here is one of the first things that a teaching ministry can do for you when you reach this stage in grace. First, it will enable you to discern truth from error. Now notice on our slide here. You see this? This over here is the hill called Error. When you reach a stage in grace where you're able to appreciate the teaching ministry of a shepherd, you will be enabled at that point to discern truth from error. Oh, that God might raise up some more teaching shepherds in this land. What a great need we have now, beloved. How many hundreds of God's sheep today do not know the difference? They can hear two preachers preach, and they'll be preaching exactly opposite, and they'll not be able to discern any difference. It's a gift to be able to know truth from error. And this is called the hill of error, which was very steep on the further side, and bid them look down to the bottom. Your teaching shepherd should be able to discern error and to be able to tell you where that if you persist in following that error, false teaching, where it's going to lead you. Because, beloved, let us not deceive ourselves. Every error is going to lead us into something that's going to harm us. And that's what the interest of the shepherd is. He's watching for your souls. Now, some errors are more serious than others, but every error which takes us away from the truth of the gospel, however sly it may be, is going to harm us to some degree spiritually and may delay our spiritual progress in the things of God. You remember, even Christian and Hopeful were delayed in Doubting Castle for several days. Your growth in the Lord may be delayed because you get trapped in error. And that error keeps you from understanding more clearly the what Jesus came to do to save you, what He is doing to save you, and what He will yet do to save you. So, learn the difference between truth and error, the ability to discern between the two. And so they went on the further side and bid them look down to the bottom. So Christian and Hopeful looked down and saw at the bottom several men dashed all to pieces by a fall that they had from the top. Then said Christian, "What means this? I see all these bones over here. This is a fatal error which led to the destruction of individuals who had professed faith in Christ but never possessed Him, and they were led astray away from Christ through some sly error that destroyed them in their pursuit of God. The shepherds answered, "Have you not heard of them which were made to err by hearkening to Hymenaeus and Philetus as concerning the faith, the resurrection of the body?" They answered, "Yes." Then said the shepherds, "Those that you see lie dashed in pieces at the bottom of this mountain are they, and they have continued to this day unburied, as you see, for an example to others, to take heed how they clamber too high, or how they come too near the brink of this mountain." Now that's merely saying this: stay in what is revealed, and don't try to climb too high in the things of God and start teaching that which is not revealed. There are many things which God has not seen to reveal to us, and we best leave those alone. Let's stay within the book, what He has revealed. And it will, because we will not be long before we will be out into error when we start assuming and start teaching things in which there is no clear revelation for in the Scriptures. All right, now that is one thing that you will be benefited by through the role of a teaching pastor, is that he will enable you to be able to grow in grace and to discern truth from error, and that is a gift. Now the second thing that you will benefit by is, "Then I saw that they had them to the top of another mountain, and the name of that is Caution." All right, now that's this second mountain right here in your scene. Now here is another lesson they're going to learn under the teaching ministry of a shepherd. "And bid them look afar off, and when they did, they perceived, as they thought, several men walking up and down among the tombs that were there, and they perceived that the men were blind, because they stumbled sometimes among the upon the tombs, and because they could not get out from among them. Then said Christian, "What means this?" Now notice, the first error was a fatal one. They were already dead. Spiritual destruction. Now the second error, we still have some people which are still alive, but they're in a very precarious position. Now then, what do these represent? The shepherds then answered, "Do you not see a little below these mountains a stile that led into a meadow on the left hand of this way?" They answered, "Yes." Now you remember Bypath Meadow? Now they've just been in that. Did you ever go to a service and the preacher preached a message and you thought he must have been in your closet all week? Huh? You ever have that happen? Why, he preached everything about me. That's what's going to happen right here. They asked, said, "What does this mean?" Well, now, wait a minute. Didn't you remember before you got up here, didn't you see a little stile down there that led off into Bypath Meadow? They answered, "Yes." Then said the shepherds, "From that stile there goes a path that leads directly to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, and these men, pointing to them among the tombs, came once on pilgrimage, as you do now, even till they came to that same stile. And because the right way was rough in that place, they chose to go out of it into that meadow, and they were taken by Giant Despair and cast into Doubting Castle, where, after they had a while been kept in the dungeon, he at last did put out their eyes and led them among those tombs, where he has left them the wonder to this very day, that the saying of the wise man might be fulfilled, quote, 'He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.'" That's a quotation from Proverbs 21:16. Now notice carefully, listen. "Then Christian and Hopeful looked one upon another with tears gushing out, yet they said nothing to the shepherds."
Have you ever gone to a service and the message that the pastor brought, you just knew that it was you he was preaching to? Have you ever had that happen? Now here the shepherds were warning, this is what happens when you get out of God's will. You're going to end up in Doubting Castle, and that's going to delay your progress in the knowledge of God. So stay away from that style. Now, Christian and Hopeful didn't tell their pastor that they'd already gotten out of God's will and had gotten over there in Bypath Meadow, and Giant Despair got a hold of them. They just sat and wept. And, beloved, I know many times when I preach and I see expressions on your faces, I know that what I'm preaching about, although I know nothing about your own heart, I know what I'm saying is hitting home. And you're saying, that's me. That's me. I needed that. That's me he's talking about. And you don't have to come and tell me, because it's between you and God. But oh, that the messages of God would be so pertinent that when the teaching shepherd teaches, that it fits home. And if the shoe fits, do what? Wear it, because it's for your benefit. Then I saw in my dream that the shepherds had them to another place in a bottom, where there was a door in the side of a hill. And they opened the door and bid them look in, and they looked in, therefore, and saw it was very dark and smoky. They also thought they heard there a rumbling noise as of fire and a cry of some tormented, and they that smelt this and the scent of brimstone. Then said Christian, what means this? Now, here's the third lesson that they learned from the role of a teaching shepherd. The first one, avoid error. The second one, use caution in staying in the revealed will of God. Be cautious about adopting some new thing that may take you out of God's will. And then the third one is another caution, and that is the shepherds told them, this is a byway to hell. A way that hypocrites go in at. Namely, such as sell their birthright with Esau, such as sell their master with Judas, such as blaspheme the gospel with Alexander, and that lie and dissemble with Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. In other words, this is a warning. Be sincere in what you do. Above all else, be sincere. Don't be a hypocrite. Examine your heart from time to time to see if you're a hypocrite or whether you're sincere in this thing of being a Christian. Because you can go to hell from a church pew. You know that? Just because you're a member of a church does not mean you're a Christian. And shepherds have to warn of this ever so often, to not get some type of a false assurance that just because that you go through the motions of being a Christian, unless there's sincerity in the heart, it's for nothing. And then he points out several. There was Esau. He wasn't sincere. He professed to be of the people of God, but he wasn't sincere. There was Judas, who had all the marks of being a good man. He was trusted. He was the treasurer of the 12. And yet his heart was never with the Lord there. It was what was he was going to get from following Christ. Alexander blasphemed the gospel. Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to come across as real devout Christians in the church. They tried to give an appearance that they were really serving the Lord, and all the time their hearts were not right with God. Then said Hopeful to the shepherds, I perceive that these had on them every one a show of pilgrimage as we have now, had they not? Shepherds, yes, and they held it a long time too. These examples. Judas, how long was he with the Lord? 3 years. How long were these individuals identifying with the external demands of the gospel, and yet they eventually proved themselves to be hypocrites? And so, this is to be used as a warning for us, lest we just be playing in this thing of sincerity. How far might they go in pilgrimage in their days, since they notwithstanding were thus miserably cast away? Shepherds, some further, and some not so far as these mountains. Then said the pilgrims one to another, we had need to cry to the strong for strength. In other words, this teaches us we had best depend upon the grace of God to get us safely home. What's the old song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have what? Already come. 'Tis grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will have to what? Lead me home." We must never cease to depend upon the grace of God at any time in our journey. We must not start out depending upon grace and then leave that dependence and come back upon our own righteousness. We have to depend upon the grace of God to take us all the way through. And that's sincerity. And the shepherd said, "Yes, and you will have need to use it when you have to, too." If you really see your need of grace, you ask God for grace, because you're going to need grace. And may I give you that as a word of exhortation? None of us here this evening are yet in our state of heaven. Grace has brought us thus far. Now hear me, you're going to need grace to get you on through that river of death, too. Death's coming. And you're going to need grace. And beloved, you're going to need more grace than you've got right now to get you through that. Look to that grace of God. I think it will be an exciting time if God enables us to get there when we see Christian and hopeful walking through the river of death. Unless the Lord comes and takes us out, all of us are going to have to walk through that river. And it's going to take grace to face it, beloved. It's going to take grace if some of us are called upon to lie there on that hospital bed with some disease eating our life away. And it's going to take the grace of God. It's going to take more than you've got right now. But praise God, the Bible says He giveth more grace. He gives more grace. Look to that grace. Be strong in that grace, because you're going to need it as what you may be called upon to suffer for the Lord. Well, we read by this time the pilgrims had a desire to go forward, and the shepherds a desire they should. And so they walked together toward the end of the mountains. Then said the shepherds one to another, "Let us here show the pilgrims the gates of the celestial city, if they have skill to look through our perceptive glass." The pilgrims lovingly accepted the motion, and so they had them to the top of a high hill called Clear, and gave them the glass to look. In other words, now then, these individuals have reached such an understanding of the gospel through the ministry of their teaching shepherds that they're taken to a hill called Clear. And they're saying, "Now look through the gospel, and there you'll see your home. There you'll see insights there that will enable you to be willing to leave this life behind and to go on." Well, look what happened. Then they tried to look, but the remembrance of that last thing which the shepherds had showed them made their hands shake, by means of which impediment they could not look steadily through the glass. They had been warned, "You're not there yet. Seek the grace of God." And that gave them a fear. So they were trying to see that, and they couldn't steady it. They couldn't get a real clear insight as to what the next life was going to be like. And beloved, I can stand and I can preach about heaven. I can preach about perfection. I can preach about our glorification. But unless God, by His Spirit, gives you the ability to focus your faith on what I'm saying, you'll never get a clear glimpse of what the state of heaven is going to be like. You see, it's not just me. It has to be God working in you, bringing what I say and what you hear together. And that what joins that is faith, looking through that glass. But while they couldn't get a clear view, yet they thought they saw something like the gate and also some of the glory of that place. What a blessing it was here 2 or 3 weeks ago to sit down in the home of one of our elderly ladies. To sit there in that home and to have her tell me she's ready to meet God and relate all the many journeys that she's gone through in her life. I said, "But Pastor, don't worry.
He said, heaven means more to me now than it did a few months ago. Now, God was preparing that lady. He knows she doesn't have a great number of years left. Somehow, I believe he told me she was some 87 years old. And what a joy it is to sit down and see an individual who's been a Christian since his age 12 to be able to say they have no sorrow, no regret about it, and that now, rather than looking back and wishing they had their life to live over, they could say, I'm ready for the next life. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. May God call us into that eternal state, having prepared us to desire to go there. Then they went on their way and sang this song. Now listen to it. Thus by the shepherds secrets are revealed, which from all other men are kept concealed. Come to the shepherds then, if you would see things deep, things hid, and that mysterious deed. I'm going to read that again. Critics have criticized Bunyan's poetry. I'm not much of a poet, so I'm not qualified to be a critic. But I don't think he's so bad, really. I think he does a pretty good job right here. Read it again. Thus by the shepherds, the pastors, secrets are revealed, which from all other men are kept concealed. Come to the shepherds, then, if you would see things deep, things hid, and that mysterious being. Don't neglect the role of a teaching shepherd if God has been pleased to bless you with one. So when they were about to depart, one of the shepherds gave them a note of the way. Another of them bid them beware of the flatterer. The third bid them take heed that they slept not upon the enchanted ground. And the fourth bid them Godspeed, so I awoke from my dream. Now they have set under the teaching ministry of a shepherd. And as they're about to be dismissed, he gives them four different exhortations. First of all, he gives them a note of the way. He explains to them what the gospel is. If you sit under a teaching ministry of a shepherd, and he's worth his weight in salt, he's going to be explaining to you what the gospel is. That's one thing. Secondly, he will bid you beware of the flatterer. We're going to run on to the flatterer here in a few weeks. The flatterer represents false doctrines, false teachers, false apostles. And he's going to make you aware that not everybody who comes in the name of Christ is teaching correct doctrine. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to have all the knowledge. Every shepherd has error in him. But he will be able to show you the difference between a false teacher and a true teacher. And he'll be emphasizing that. The third thing, he will be bidding you to beware of the enchanted ground. We'll come to that in a few weeks. The enchanted ground represents those periods of sleepiness in the Christian life, drowsiness, becoming sort of sluggish in our service for Christ. And so the shepherd will continually be prodding you. Wake up! Wake up! Don't become indifferent to the things of God. Have your faith tuned, razor sharp, that you might be seeking after the things of God. And then the fourth thing, he bid them Godspeed. That is, God's blessings of grace go with you. The pastor, if he is a teaching shepherd, is going to be pointing you to the grace of God to sustain you in all of your activities. Now, once again, in closing, a teaching shepherd is going to be explaining the gospel to you. The way of the cross leads home. He's going to be warning you to beware of false doctrine. Thirdly, he's going to be warning you and exhorting you to not become sluggish and indifferent in your Christian walk in the enchanted ground, and he's going to be continually pointing you to the gospel of grace to enable you to enter into the celestial city. So Bunyan says, I awoke from my dream. Oh my, tonight, that God might be pleased to restore to this generation a role of a teaching shepherd. It is recognized on all hands that in the United States, religion is in a doldrum. That when it comes to the pastorate, we're at an all-time low today. Now, it doesn't mean we're short of preachers. They're a dime a dozen.
But it is recognized that never in the history of the church has there been such a low caliber of individuals to stand and minister the Word of God as there is today. Now, that's just not my opinion. That's the general opinion at large. Now, why is this? We have so few teaching shepherds. And yet, as it was in the days of Jeremiah, the Bible says, my people love to have it so. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. Do you realize, beloved, how many people today just want a preacher to get up and preach some smooth little sermonette to them and let them go their way, and that's all they want? They want no more. But praise God, there is a movement going on right now in which the hungry sheep are beginning to ask for some shepherds that will teach them into the ways of God. And this is not just going on in our area. There are signs of this beginning of breaking out here and here and here. As I get calls nearly every day, or letters or something, can you tell us where we can find a pastor? I say, well, why? They're everywhere. No, not the kind that will teach us the Word of God. The sheep of God in the United States have become starved because there's so little teaching in the average sermon that is set forth. Might it be pleased tonight that we pray that God be pleased to raise up a new generation of preachers that will pastor and teach the sheep. Let's stand together.